5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here, your cancer survivorship bus driver, joined to my left, Angel Santana, Half Faith, Let It Begin.
Hello, hello.
Angel, there are two expressions, one of which is well known, one of which I think I just made up. There's an expression that goes something like this: there are no atheists in a foxhole. You've heard of that one?
I have.
I also would like to say that there probably are no atheists in the cancer survivorship world, although I'm sure there are, and we respect that. But when you've been diagnosed with cancer, that's a real kick in the soul. And last week, thank you, Angel, for being our special guest to kick us off on our cancer survivorship spirituality module, which I think is going to be an extraordinarily important module for our constituency.
Yeah, and I like your permission. Maybe we can air that episode on my show, and also a couple of your spirituality shows and modules on my show as well.
Permission granted. So today we're going to get a little dirty with some more review of the literature. Last week was a feel-good kind of podcast. You are one of the beacons in my life of spirituality and wanted you on for that reason. But this week we're going to dive into the literature. The article we're going to be reviewing is called Spirituality in the Cancer Trajectory, and that's kind of the name of our module. In today's podcast, we're going to be talking about this paper. The author is C.M. Pochalski, who comes from George Washington Institute for Spirituality and Health. And you know who else came from the George Washington University, Angel? Do you remember? Our first podcast, not our first podcast, but our first module, defining for survivorship, Fitzhugh Mullen the School of Public Health is named after him at George Washington. So a little kind of
a little education here. There.
Yeah, a connection, right? A Croc connection. We're going to be going through this article rather quickly. In our board meeting, our board members want me to be a little more peppy with our podcast. So that's what we're going to go for. But just to give you a little outline, there's going to be really four aspects to this paper. One is the description of spirituality in general, as well as in the context of cancer. We're going to also talk about a syndrome called spiritual distress, which is a real thing. And then we're going to attend to the spiritual issues and recognize some of the barriers associated with spirituality, addressing spirituality and cancer. And then we're going to go to what I think is my new favorite word. It's bio, psycho, socio, spiritual assessment. So we're going to do that. Let me do that one more time with feeling.
Please do.
Bio, psycho, socio, spiritual. That basically means we're going to address the entire patient. We're not going to be just addressing the patient as a patient with an organic illness. We're going to be really evaluating the patient in the context of a real living, breathing human being. And we're going to look at their biological aspects, you know, their medical aspects, their psychological aspects, which is in their minds, and what makes them them. Their social aspects, you know, their socioeconomic, their jobs, their families, their loves, their hates, their likes, their dislikes. And lastly, their spiritual assessments, and also come up with a treatment plan. And that's what my goal is today. Angel, to paraphrase from the paper, spirituality is an essential element of person-centered care and a critical factor in the way patients with cancer cope with their illness from their diagnosis through their treatment, through their survival, hopefully not, but through their recurrence, and hopefully not through their dying. Studies have indicated a significant relationship between spirituality and quality of life. And as an aside, I believe also outcomes. Spirituality, in its broadest sense, speaks to the meaning patients find in their lives, especially during times of stress, such as, hey, by the way, you've been diagnosed with cancer, illness and dying. Illness can trigger deep existential issues that could trigger profound suffering and distress. And we know that to be true. A model is presented in this paper that describes the role of each member of the healthcare team in addressing the spirituality. So let's get a little bit more in detail, Angel, with definition and introduction. So how would you, as one of my spiritual beacons, describe spirituality? I know that's a difficult concept to try to define something as nebulous as spirituality, but I'm going to let you give it a try.
Well, I mean, I think it's all based on faith. That's hard because you're not even talking about faith. I'm going to use it as my opinion, because there's really no definition, in my opinion, per person to define spirituality. But I think for myself, when I hear the word spirituality, I'm thinking of what is inside of me, what is inside of my heart that allows me the ability to gain an understanding, a belief, and a love for someone that I believe loves me unconditionally and is of a higher authority.
Beautiful. I think that's beautifully said, Angel. I'm going to define it according to the article. Spirituality is defined as the way people find meaning and purpose. I love that word, purpose, and how they experience their connectedness to self, others, the significant, or sacred. Spirituality is seen as a universal human characteristic. So I guess anyone from cave people on up, we already have this ingrained in our DNA. Spirituality can be understood as one's relationship with the transcendent, as you mentioned, expressed through one's attitudes, habits, and practices. Religion, only one type of expression of spirituality, and we talked a little bit about religion, especially on the Christian side last week with you, Angel. Spirituality is a set of organized beliefs about God that is shared within a community of people. But spirituality also embraces the arts, the humanism, as well as cultural beliefs and practices. Spirituality can be understood as the inner life of a person. I hate to paraphrase. I get criticized from my wife all the time about paraphrasing, but I thought that was really apropos to this particular subject. So getting deeper into the paper, having a strong sense of spirituality helps patients adjust and cope. So we have a couple of key words that I love about this paper. One is purpose. You know, you'd like to think that we have a purpose. There is so many anesthetics in life. You know, we're focused, like I'm focused on what's for dinner tonight. I'm focused on my travels, on a trip. My wife and I are going to be together this weekend and have a beautiful day of celebration of our anniversary and her birthday. These are all the things that are sort of a distraction, an anesthetic to what is my true purpose in life? Why are we here? You know, why am I here sitting in this chair talking to all these wonderful cancer survivors? Is that my purpose in life? Is my purpose in life to be a great father? Is my purpose in life to be a great friend, to be a great doctor, to be a great husband, to be a great human being? And if so, why? Why are we here? These are all some of the existential things we think of when we think about spirituality. According to Podchalski, it's an integral dimension of human beings and has been recognized as a critical factor in health and well-being. And again, these papers, why I present them to you, why we use them as the pillar of our educational foundation, is because the papers come with what's called evidence-based information. These are statistical papers that have reviewed the data in regard to even something as non-quantitative. This is more of quantitative. Let me see if I'm saying that right. Quantitative is actual numbers. So not quantitative. This is more of a qualitative analysis. So sorry about that. And that's what we're looking at with spirituality. So what are some of the things that these papers say? What does the data say? So we know what spirituality is. We've defined it. Let's look at some of the thought processes about spirituality as it relates to the papers. So according to Brady, and again, we have the references, He found that patients with cancer who had high levels of spiritual well-being reported more enjoyment in life and higher levels of meaning and peace. Other studies have shown that spiritual well-being in cancer patients has been associated with lower levels of depression, better quality of life, and protection against end-of-life despair and desire for hastened death. Cancer patients report their spirituality helps them find hope, gratitude, and positivity in their experience. And here's another expression I love, Angel. It makes their cancer journey make sense to them. So if you don't look at it in the context of something bigger than yourself, greater than yourself, grander than yourself, then I would think that not just cancer, but any experience, life experience, would be thought of as duller and more meaningless than meaningful, less purposeful. Again, the deep existential questions we talk about. I wanted to talk about something that I'm not going to paraphrase. This is my own personal philosophy, and I've learned it from the last three decades dealing with these amazing survivors, is I call it the veil of deception. So getting back to those anesthetics, our travels, our food, our hobbies, our TV shows, people tell me about binge watching this and binge watching that, or have you seen the latest episode of The Bachelor? You know, all these types, or The Survivor or whatever, you know, or people addicted to the news channels and, you know, Fox versus CNN versus this versus that. So, I mean, these are all anesthetics, and what they do is they, you know, when you look at a cancer patient, and I say this all the time, we should have a podcast on this. Two patients walk into the hospital at the same time. A woman with stage one breast cancer who comes in to have her lumpectomy, and a man 55 years old, they're both 55 years old, comes in with chest pain. The man who's 55 years old ends up being diagnosed with a heart attack. The woman ends up getting diagnosed with stage one breast cancer, and they both go home on the same day. Who leaves the hospital to go to the cemetery to buy a cemetery plot? But who is going to be the one who's going to live longer?
I mean, you think about cancer and automatically people just stop and go, okay, it's cancer. It's a done deal. That's the way I used to think.
And that's the way the woman thought in this particular, what would you say, call it a little story or whatever, little anecdote. The truth of the matter is the man at 55 with heart disease is going to die much quicker than the woman with stage one breast cancer. And I call this the veil. So that veil has been pulled off those scales, like to use a Christian analogy of Paul having the scales removed from his eyes and his blindness was removed. All of a sudden, you know, life becomes a different life for this woman. So she's not looking at life the same way as she always did. She's now looking at the fact that there is no guarantee for her next breath, for dinner that night, for her trip coming up in December, for her weekend with her husband. These are no longer guarantees. These are not things that are just a foregone conclusion. These are gifts. The man with a heart attack continues with this veil, with these scales on his eye, with the fact that he's not going to die and he's going to do well. And he has, you know, a guarantee of life until he is whatever, 75, 80 years old, 85 years old. He thinks just because he had his heart attack, that doesn't change this deception. So I think cancer survivors, one of the gifts is the loss of this deception, this deception, this veil of deception of we're immortal, we're going to live forever. And I actually think that that's a gift, to be honest with you. And I think many of my cancer patients agree with me. Another thought is that spirituality improve and assist cancer patients making decisions regarding their end of life decisions, which I think makes a lot of sense. So let's move quickly into the second part, and that's the part of spiritual distress being a clinical diagnosis. So let's kind of look at this as an entity. So what are some of the things, Angel, that can cause spiritual distress? Give me some thoughts.
Well, I call them storms. When you're in a storm, when you're battling something that you feel that you need a higher power help with, you pray about it and hope that it turns for the better. That to me is stress. Any type of worldly stress, any type of worldly distractions can hurt your spiritual.
Well, think about this. Have you ever heard anyone, as a godly man, as a spiritual person, have you ever been with a friend that something bad has happened to, and they become angry at God?
Absolutely.
Or they feel abandoned by God?
Absolutely.
These are all symptoms of what's called spiritual distress. These are all indicators. The existential concerns that we always talk about on this podcast are lack of meaning, lack of purpose, the question about your own existence and why you're here, concerns about the afterlife. I mean, there is no such thing as religion. If somebody comes down after being dead and tells everyone, hey, I'm here to tell you there's a picnic in heaven. Everyone is invited, and the hot dogs taste better in heaven than any other hot dog you've ever had, including Coney Island Nathan's hot dogs in the heyday. So yeah, so there would be no religion if we had that information. Sadly, we do not have that information. Angel, how about concerns about just a relationship with the God? Some people just feel they have a lack of belief. You mentioned the word faith. Faith might be one of the hardest things to muster because faith requires lack of proof.
Mm-hmm. I believe, this may go a little bit slightly off, but I believe that there are people out there that believe that they have faith but don't have a relationship with God. Or the other way around, they have a relationship with God, but they don't have any faith. How about that, to turn that around on you?
No, so, absolutely.
And to me, you can't have one or the other. You have to have both. That's my opinion.
No, of course. You know, and I think it's
I don't want to tell people how to.
Angel, everything you say is valuable. Everything. Despair, hopelessness are other symptoms of spiritual distress. Grief and loss, the loss of a body part, the loss of an image. This is all part of it. And in addition, isolation. You know, if you don't have that spiritual sense, and again, spirituality, we're not here to sell Catholicism. We're not here to sell Christianity. We're not here to sell Judaism. We're not here to dispel, you know, to try to sell Buddhism. We're here to just strictly, there are a lot of people who are humanists who just believe in the interconnectedness between people or the beauty of nature, how we're connected to Mother Earth. So there are many levels of spirituality. So I think we did a really nice discussion about spiritual issues and about spiritual distress. How do we attend to these issues? And this is one of the things that I found most fascinating about this paper. And again, for the sense of brevity, let me simply state, we are not doing a good job identifying spiritual distress or even asking the right questions about a cancer survivor's spirituality. As a matter of fact, we're doing a terrible, terrible, terrible job. Our job, as a matter of fact, one of my jobs in my practice is patient comes in, first thing we talk about stage of their cancer, our expectations of their treatments, their prognosis, how they should do, the intentions of treatment, the alternatives of care. It's like almost like a blah, 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 blah. It's like a Chinese menu. A goes to B, goes to C, goes to D. It's just pretty much rote. I try to make sure I give it a little pizzazz every time I do it, but that's kind of my script. And in no way, other than I tell people that I will pray for their outcomes and I hope they're going to do great. I pray they're going to do well. I pray to God. I'm an instrument of God. I don't take any credit for the good outcomes, and I give all the glory to God. But at the same time, that's about as far as I go. One of my heroes, Dr. Frank Imbarato, anybody in the Hudson Valley probably have heard of him. What a great spiritual man who has immersed himself in in doing mission work and things, Frank would actually go out and pray with the patient. And that's going out on a limb. It's very, very unheard of to hear a doctor take a hand and actually pray with a patient. And Frank was the king of that. God bless him. And thank you, Frank, for living your spirituality. I think that's beautiful. But at the same time, I think what we need to do is we have to do a better job discussing, having conversations. I remember when I was first training, one of the things that people hated most was hated to talk about sex, hated to talk about some of the intimate things. You know, we take care of prostate cancer patients, women with GYN cancers. And, you know, in the old days, we didn't want to talk about sex. Hey, let's talk about your intimate life. You know, after your prostate cancer, guess what? Your erections aren't going to be that great if they're going to even happen at all and blah, 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 blah. You know, we have to ask these questions. We have to have these conversations, and we have to have the conversations about spirituality. It just has to happen. So also, there are spiritual beliefs that we need to know that may impede medical care. There are certain sects, and I'm not going to mention which they are, who they are, what they are, because I don't want to be judgmental. Again, this is an entirely safe place. The Croc Podcast does not judge anyone, does not, you know, promulgate one belief system over another. You know, unless it's harmful to other individuals, we will never judge you. But there are some religious groups that might refuse standard medical care because of their spiritual beliefs, because they're, you know, they may not want to get blood products, or they might not want to do, you know, certain interventions because they believe God will heal them. And these are all things that need to be discussed. If a young patient who has a curable cancer comes in and refuses treatment, and everyone knows this example, you know, Steve Jobs, who was the Apple, the Apple guy, had a very curable pancreatic cancer. I mean, it wasn't your typical pancreatic cancer. It was a different type of pancreatic cancer. All he needed was an operation. And he was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to eat apples, and that's the end of it. I'm going to be fine. And he ended up having a curable cancer become incurable. And there's no reason why Steve Jobs should not be alive right now. So, you know, we need to know about a patient's beliefs, their cultures, those types of things, especially things that may impede, you know, their treatments. Now getting to that bio, psycho, social, spiritual assessment and treatment plan. Again, everyone is really good about, you know, defining, you know, finding the barriers. Remember, the barriers are not actually asking the questions. As a matter of fact, the number is less than 40% of patients even, patients have these questions asked in the data. And again, I'm going to try to get all of these papers to the website for a review. But when a person, and when we define what biopsychosocial spiritual assessment is, it is exactly that. It's everything. It's like everything a person stands for. It's like, remember, we start with, hey, what's your essence? What are you all about? But it has to go further. We not only need to know about your cancer and everything about your cancer bio, we have to know your state of mind. Do you have anxiety? Do you have depression? Do you have any, you know, mental illnesses that need to be integrated? I have a lot of patients who have coexistent, you know, psychological issues that really impact, you know, their care. We have to know about your social systems. I've had patients who never told us, but they leave treatment. They have no money. They don't have nowhere to live. They live in their car. They have no heat. These are elderly, very high-risk patients. I mean, we need to know about this. And not just that, you know, your job, your profession, will your cancer impede? Will it cause you to be discriminated against at work? Will it cause you to lose your job? How will, you know, you're in a relationship, you're a 50-year-old guy, you're divorced, you found an awesome woman, and now you have prostate cancer and you're worried about erections and all these. I need to know that. We need to know that. And spiritual, finally, spiritual. We need to know your spiritual focus for us to be able to help you. Again, what are we looking for? We're looking for a better outcome medically and a better outcome personally. So medically, that means your cure, your freedom from relapse. your pain levels, your you know, your whole medical situation. But we also want to make sure that you are spiritually grounded, that you feel part of this universal structure, to have a structure where there is something greater than you, whether it be Mother Earth, whether it be our galaxy, whether it be the universe, or whether it be Jesus Christ, whether it be, you know, Muhammad, whether it be Moses, whatever it happens to be, it's irrelevant. It could be Zeus, it could be, you know, paganistic or multi-deity, whatever, you know, we just need to know, you know, what it is. And in closing, we're just going to talk a little bit about who your spiritual care patient, what your spiritual care plan would be, an example. So we want to refer you to a board certified chaplain or a spiritual healthcare professional, referral to specific therapies such as meaning oriented or dignity oriented therapies, referral to art, dance, music therapy, participation in a faith or spiritual community, even a 12-step program would be helpful. Meditation, which we know diminishes burnout. We started our burnout module in healthcare workers. Prayer or reading from a sacred text, gratitude practices I do every morning when I wake up, reflection practices, retreats, journal writing, reflective writing, participation in the arts, appreciation of beauty in nature, embodied spiritual practices like yoga, dance, walking, meditation, exercise, hiking, hobbies, studies outside of work, and continued presence and support from your healthcare team. So in conclusion, Croc Nation, I have to say the following. What can Angel and I and our entire board members do for you? What can Croc do for you, our cancer survivors, as it relates to spirituality? So we're going to build this module from scratch. This is our second episode in this module. We want to build a proactivity in each of our cancer survivors, and even the people listening to this podcast who are not cancer survivors, they may be your caregivers, your caretakers. We want them to begin to evaluate their own spirituality before there's the actual need to say, oh my God, I better have a God now because somebody just told me I have pancreatic cancer and things aren't going to go my way. Let's be proactive. That's one of the things we can do, Angel. Number two is acknowledge that 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that's ask the questions. What is your beliefs? What is your spirituality? Do you belong to a church? Do you belong to a temple? You know, tell me about your spirituality. Number three, build a scaffold of what I call guarded optimism. So that's my thing. I mean, I think I might be the designer and the founder and the discoverer and, you know, the discoverer of guarded optimism. So that means that a person comes in with cancer, even metastatic cancer, you know, I am going to be optimistic as possible, be honest, transparent, truthful, ethical. But at the same time, I'm always going to choose to look at things in an optimistic way until proven otherwise. And I think that's a spiritual practice, to be honest with you. And last but not least, build a module that it's a course, you know, it's a mini course that doesn't just give definitions of a problem, does not just identify challenges of a problem, but gives a prescriptive on how to help solve the problem. So coming up, Croc Nation, in the following weeks and months, as we build up this what I think very important module or mini course on spirituality in the cancer trajectory, we'll be focusing more on solutions rather than definitions. Gratitude exercises as defined in this paper. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you, my friend. You are actually not just a co-host in this particular module. You're actually the pilot with me. We are equal ground on this one because you, again, are my spiritual beacon. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you, Rod. It was good meeting you with you this week, and you gave me inspiration. Croc Nation, coming soon. We're going to be changing our website to better define and to better, I guess, what would be the word, to better express what we're going to try to do for you guys by building these these learning modules. These are the foundations we're going to, and we did a Croc mantra a few weeks ago. We're going to actually integrate all of this information onto our website. So if you're new to the Croc podcast, you go to the website, soon you'll know more about us than you want to know. You're going to know all of our beliefs, all of what we're trying to do for you guys, and hopefully put it together in a very beautiful and colorful and aesthetically pleasing way. And that's what Rod's going to do for us, to help you guys understand the modules and the mini courses that you could pick and choose to help put in your toolbox for your survivorship. Michael, John, Benzea, Charlotte Larson, thank you for your continued support and love and your belief in us. We will get Michael back actually to talk about spirituality. He's a very spiritual young man, and God bless him for helping all of our survivors in honor of his mother, Edie. And I end this podcast as I end every podcast on behalf of Angel Santana, Rod Freeman, and the entire Croc board. We wish you all of our unbelievable, courageous, amazing cancer survivors. We wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God help you. God be on your side. God carry you through your hard times. I wish you love. I wish you peace. God bless. Peace out.